Good songs this morning. Praise the Lord. And turn to the book of Revelation chapter 14. We are on lesson number 31. If you need lesson 31, raise your hand. And the ushers will get that to you. Lesson number 31, they may have gotten them all passed out. Good. That's amazing. All right. We are on Revelation section 6. Of Revelation chapters 14 through 19, talking about the anger of God. We are about to talk about the seven vial or bowl judgments, and God is pouring out His wrath. This is a major, major portion of the tribulation where God's wrath is seen, and it amazes me how people talk about God just being a God of L-U-V, love. Which for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. I mean, John 3:16, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We know that to be true. God sent His Son to die, but let's not misunderstand. God hates sin, and God's wrath. Boy, the tribulation is going to be one thing after another. Where we see God's wrath. And so we cannot get past that. So anyway, good to have you here and a good crowd. Praise the Lord. It's nice to see the weather breaking finally. The mountain is melting. And, you know, I see our beautiful, beautiful brown yard. Amen. And we know it won't be long and it'll be green. And praise the Lord for that. But anyway, you've seen the progress if you looked up at the roof. There are now materials on the roof, and that was fun to watch. We got pictures of them loading, great big crane putting those materials up on the roof, and it's funny because as they right after they put all those materials, which obviously weigh so much, they put all that up there. I decided to go up and kind of listen. You can hear drip, 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 drip. The roof is like a sponge, you know, just. So anything that goes up there, it just sort of squeezes moisture. Out, and it only has one place to go. That's down on the plastic in the foyer upstairs. But anyway, should be starting next week. They think anyway they're going to get some things started, and it'll be a process. It really is going to be an amazing thing. It wouldn't be so bad if it was 80 degrees. It would tear off the roof and let the sun dry the back side of it, and then they could lay the roof. But obviously, it's going to be interesting with blow dryers. No, with the big blowers and trying to dry all that out. It's going to be kind of fun to watch. And I think we'll get Tim up there to take some pictures. It should be interesting in case some of us don't want to go up and look. Notice I said us. Amen. All right. So do you notice anything different in here? Anybody notice anything different? Do what? This is different here. That's different. What else? Somebody said chairs. What about chairs? That's kind of a harsh way of putting that, but that did sort of happen. That wasn't why it happened. Yeah, we're wider. We because families weren't able to sit together, so we have made this area a little wider. We scooted the ends all the way to the wall, so there's now, you can't get out if you sit by the wall. But why would you want to, right? Amen. So we've made more room forward, and of course we have extra room, but there are now 175 seats in here. We had to count for the ushers because our ushers have had a hard time counting. Well, one, Steve Poor, give him a hard time. He deserves it. But we always know how many chairs are set up. So I said, just count the empty seats. It's a lot easier than, and he'd stand back there and go, one, two, three. Okay, that wasn't going to work. So anyway, there are 175 seats, not counting the usher seats and these seats up here and that chair there. But anyway, it's amazing we can get that many people in here. And we're counting on that this morning, amen? All right, and we're planning to fill this up. Somebody said we shouldn't go upstairs until we fill this up. And we're actually pretty close to that. And, of course, we're at the mercy of the roof getting fixed anyway before we go upstairs. But the plan is in the planning stage to put a curtain. We're going to block off the back of the auditorium and move everybody into the front section anyway because you're so happy like this. Everybody likes that, right? We're all going to be real happy and positive about it. Amen. But anyway, we are working on that. And we can seat 250 easily in the front section and probably 300 we can get in there. And if we had to, we'd get 350 in the front section. So a lot of room to grow. But it is just a temporary curtain wall that we'll be putting up there. And yes. Yes. Yeah, this will not be as nice as that divider. This will be more temporary than that. That divider would cost a lot of money today. So, yes, we do have the old yellow curtains that were down here. We don't plan on, I don't even know where those are. I hoped somebody put them somewhere where they'll never be found. But anyway, I say all that to say that any time you have extra money, those are good projects. The warranty on the roof is a good project. The wall, curtain wall is a good project. And the drives. How many of you know that we have some potholes that seem to go to China? Okay? I hit one the other day and I heard, "Hoy-ay-ya-ta-wa!" And I knew that is a deep pothole. So anyway, we have projects. I'm going to talk about a little bit tonight. Those projects totaling right around $10,000 extra that is not necessarily in the budget. And so, when you get your tax refund of millions of dollars, you can think about those things and just ask the Lord what he'd have you to do. That'll be good. I have no idea how I got on that. Anyway, we're on let's go ahead and do our memory verse, Revelation 15:3. And that's a good verse. I remember that I memorized that verse in college, and I still remember a little bit of it. And it also is part of a cantata song that we sang years ago. Do you remember which cantata? Anybody? Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Great and marvelous are thy. What's that from? That's from Then Jesus Came. Anyway, okay, I'm getting way off the subject. All right, let's go ahead and we'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference. Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 15:3. And again, Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 15:3. And Father, you are great, you are marvelous, you are the Lord God Almighty. And I thank you that your ways are just and true, and that you are our King. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I thank you we can study a book that is all about revealing that truth to the world, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we talk about that and get closer and closer to the end of the story as we have it from the Word of God, I just pray we'll get excited and more excited that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we thank you for all that you do for us, for a beautiful sunny day, and just for the folks that are here today. Please give us what we need from your Word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 14 and verse 1, we talked about the message of the 144,000, and we are on that now, verses 1 through 5, the 144,000 Jewish soul winners. And they are seen here, and I don't want to repeat everything, but they are seen probably in heaven and before the throne in heaven. And somehow it would appear, and we'll get to this verse later on today, the idea they were redeemed from the earth. And let's see, that is found in verse 4. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And you'll remember last week we talked about how being redeemed from men, they probably were slain somehow, or they were raptured. The Bible doesn't say how they ended up in heaven. It doesn't say how that took place, or how I should say how it will take place, because obviously it has not taken place yet. But these 144,000 are soul winners. These 144,000 have gone all over the earth during the tribulation. They have been winning souls to Christ. They've been preaching the gospel, and certainly people have been getting saved. And and so again, we understand that they their message. And so we come to that in verse 2. I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. We have an idea here, an understanding here of a voice or a sound, a noise, perhaps, and again, it's all speculation, maybe a great orchestra is how he hears this. Harpers harping with their harps. There's some kind of music. There is some sort of a music sense here, some idea of a sound of an orchestra. And verse 3 says, they sung as it were a new song. So again, that's where we get the idea there's music. There's some kind of music coming forth. And they're singing. They goes back to the 144,000. They are singing. Can you imagine? 144,000 voice choir. Amen. I mean, that's exciting. And we are actually getting ready to start choir practice next week, next Sunday. We'll get our choir organized back together again, and with the hope that sometime in April, wouldn't it be great to be back upstairs by Easter? You say, oh, I thought that was a given. Nothing is a given. I got news for you. But anyway, we're can you imagine 144 voice choir and men? Men's choir, 144,000. I don't know if you've ever heard a large group, not large men, but a large group of men singing. It is amazing when they're singing parts and everything. It's just beautiful. But 144,000 preachers, and that is just an amazing thing to think about. And so they have an orchestra of some kind. This noise, this loud, I believe, music. And it's interesting what it says in verse 3. They sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now we reckon, okay, they're not singing Amazing Grace. We can sing Amazing Grace. We all know Amazing Grace. They're not even singing Victory in Jesus, because again, we sing that. We know that. This is a song that just these 144,000 are singing. It's a new song that only they could understand, only they could sing. And so, you know, you read the commentaries and different things, and again, we don't know this, but in my mind, I immediately thought, now, why is it they're the only ones that could sing this song? Why? What could it possibly be? And the only thing I could come up with in my mind was the idea that their experience is a totally unique experience. Nobody has experienced what they have experienced. And again, we're talking about people that in the beginning of the tribulation, they went out all over the land preaching the gospel. They went out during the first part of the tribulation, all the seal judgments that were taking place, all the there would be looting, there'd be murders, it was a very dangerous time. They would be going out, they would be preaching during that time. And they would have, these Jewish preachers would have been giving the gospel and going soul winning and preaching during that time. But not only that, they got saved during the tribulation. I mean, these 144,000, before they ever preached the gospel, they got saved. They received the gospel. Somehow they heard. Somehow they realized their need for Christ. Somehow, probably through gospel literature or something. But when the tribulation started, they got saved. And then they went out and preached and witnessed and soul won all over the world. And they did all of that during the first part of the tribulation. So all the persecution, all the terror, all the killing, all of the judgments of God in that first part of the tribulation, the trumpet judgments, the seal judgments, all of that, they experienced that. They saw people get saved. And then whatever took place as far as them going to heaven, they were either slain during that time or they were raptured during, the Bible doesn't say, but somehow they were redeemed from people. They went to heaven. They experienced something nobody else experienced. I cannot imagine preaching during the tribulation. Now, you know, I just cannot. Now, there would be some positives. I mean, hey, folks, it's kind of like a funeral service. Honestly, a funeral service, there is no better time to give the gospel to me than a funeral service, and which is why I've always said that we ought to have the casket right here. Bring the casket in. People need to, you know, because it's a great, great time to tell people it is appointed unto man once to die. Death is real, because most people don't want to talk about it. You know, most people, you go soul winning, you start talking about death. I don't want to, yeah, that's negative. I don't want to hear about that. You know, at a funeral, it's very, very obvious. So again, during the tribulation, you would have, there's death all around. I mean, it's everywhere. And there's all these things happening, but man is just so is really unleashed during the tribulation. And so, you know, is there going to be respect for preachers? No, there's not respect today. Is there going to be, you know, I mean, there's some, but again, it's getting worse and worse. At the time of grandpa and grandma and, you know, we're having the preacher over for dinner, behave, those days are over. You know, getting kids to behave is one thing. It's tough getting adults to behave. But anyway, that's another subject. But in the tribulation time, these preachers, these 144,000, they will experience something that nobody has ever experienced. And that's all I can figure, is that this experience is what they are going to be singing about. And I can only imagine the song. You know, you can only imagine the rejoicing of going through part of that tribulation time, seeing many people saved, but then watching those same people die. You know, the Baylor Shirley was talking about how many young people have come through their bus ministry, and they've gone on and served the Lord as missionaries and in Christian schools and in the ministry and just in their own bus ministries and serving God. That's a wonderful thing to be able to say. These 144,000, understand, their converts were slain. Their converts eventually would be beheaded. You know, what a tough thing. I mean, you disciple somebody to serve God and then they're killed because they serve God. Again, I can only imagine the experience that they're singing about. It is a totally unique experience. Verse 4, it describes these men a little bit better. It says, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." And by the way, the only way that they are without fault before the throne of God is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the same way that we will stand before the throne of God without fault, is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But I think this really talks about their morals. It talks about what kind of men these were. Again, the Bible says they had a moral purity. They were virgin men. And, you know, in that first part of the tribulation, you have to understand, morals are out the window. Morals will be thrown out. You see how morals, by the way, the Supreme Court decided that our votes don't matter again. Hello, did I say Supreme Court? The court, I don't know if, what Michigan court, decided that our, a judge decided that our vote doesn't matter again. And so, you know, the laws are just becoming worse and worse. Morals are becoming worse and worse. Try to imagine during the tribulation, especially once we're out of the way, you know. When the Christians are out of the way, the saved people, the rapture takes place, we're gone, you know, morals are going to be thrown out. And so here's some men, and honestly, I counsel with our young people all the time, and the temptations, we had temptations when I was young. We had a lot of temptations. I mean, let's be honest, there were certainly many opportunities to sin, but today, honest, I cannot imagine a young man. I can't imagine a young man who has a smartphone, an iPad, a computer, internet. It is just, the world is just, morality is, you know, emails and stuff. And they're trying, it's like they're casting out lines, you know, with bait on the end of the hook, wanting to hook some guy and ruin his life. You know, David looking at Bathsheba, that seems so mild compared to today, you know. And yet a temptation is a temptation. But these men overcame that. I mean, these men, they remained virgins. They stayed pure. They lived a moral life for the Lord. They obviously, because of that, they didn't get married. They had one job, and that was they wanted to win people to Jesus Christ. Now, again, marriage is wonderful. I love being married and everything else. But at this time, during the tribulation time, obviously it was put in their hearts they were not to marry. Can you imagine the temptations that Satan threw at them? I mean, honestly, as a red-blooded male, which I am, I can't imagine how they stayed pure and how they will stay pure during the tribulation time, because it will be such a wicked, wicked world that they will be preaching to. And I know how Satan works and how he tries to get people away from the Lord. So that, to me, that stands out as a very, very important verse. You know, we may read it casually, they are virgins. Do you understand that the world will make fun of that? They do today. Come on, I mean, you're 20 and you're still a virgin? You know, they'll say that not only to women, but especially to a man. Come on, I mean, that's a joke. There's movies about it and everything. But these men will stay true to the things of God and to the word of God. They will be moral men. But again, if you're preaching and you're soul winning during the tribulation, you better be right with God. I don't know about you, but if you've ever stood on somebody's doorstep, knocking on their door, knowing they're going to open the door and you're going to tell them how to be saved, and you're standing there already kind of scared to death anyway, every sin that you've committed that week comes to mind. And you feel kind of alone, you know? Hey, you know, you ever had a partner that looks at you and says, you do the talking, I can't. And later on you ask them, why can't you or why couldn't you? Because I just remembered all the bad stuff I did during the week, and I feel like God's way far away, and I don't want to say a word. These men would have to be pure, and they were, they will be, the Bible says. And the Bible also says they're going to follow. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And again, we have kind of a hint here of what it's going to be like as far as in the millennium. And, you know, this idea, they're following the Lamb. They're doing what he says. They're following his word. He is the Lamb of God. During the millennium, he'll be the King of Kings, and he will be followed. But and then it says, these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Again, the idea here is the beginning of the conversion of Israel. These 144,000 are certainly that they would be the beginning of the conversion, the first fruits of the conversion of Israel and the Jews. Verse 5 says, there was found no guile. Again, what a wonderful tribute of their morals. No guile. Guile talks about deception and lying. that's the opposite of the majority of people in the tribulation. I mean, lying is going to be, that'll just be automatic. It'll, again, try to imagine the rapture takes place. Rapture takes place right after our roof is fixed. We have a beautiful new roof, and the everything's all fixed. So this building's a beautiful building again, and it doesn't have plastic all over the place. And the driveways have all been fixed. Amen. And then the rapture takes place. Okay. Can you imagine how many people in the city are going to say this is their building? We're not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. Now, Dale Stewart maybe could run things. No, he's not. Dale's not going to be. We're not going to be here. And there's not going to be. Who's going to represent Berean Baptist Church? Oh, there will be a whole bunch of people. Well, you know, this is mine. Why? This will be great property, you know? And people are going to lie, and they're going to cheat, and they're going to steal. But 144,000, there's no guile found in their mouths. Isn't that something? Oh, it'll be so easy. I was reading in the paper about scams of senior citizens. There are so many scams out there. How many of you have ever gotten an email from Nigeria? Anybody? Oh, some of you have. Not all of you have. Isn't that a great deal? King Mabakuki, you know, he has died and he has left you his fortune. And all they need is somebody, you, to receive that fortune into your bank account. And you're thinking, yeah. And all you have to do, just send us $1,500 to make it all happen, and that'll be beautiful. Just give us your bank records. And how many people are... Now, if you did it, I'm not laughing at you. I'm not, because people get scammed all the time. But you know, the lying, the deceit, we think it's bad now. What's it going to be like during the tribulation? But here's 144,000. They don't lie. They don't deceive. You know what they're doing? They're just telling the truth. Just telling the truth. I guarantee the Baileys, they've been in the bus ministry for years, and there's times you knock on somebody's door and you say, hey, I saw your kids out here playing, and we run a bus with Berean Baptist Church, and certainly now everybody knows our church runs buses here in the area, but there has to be that time. Somebody looks at you, what do you really want? Okay, what are you really up to here? What are you people really trying to do? You know, the 144,000, everybody's scamming everybody. Okay, what are you guys trying to prove? We're just telling you the truth. That's all. Just telling you the truth. We get asked every year, someone says, why do you people do your vacation Bible school? What's in it for you? You know, our budget's, I don't know, $3,000, something like that, and then we have people give toward that. And what's in it for you? Oh, it's a week of fun. But why do you, you know, understand the 144,000, they'll get accused of everything, but they just tell the truth. I love that. That is such a wonderful thing. And what a blessing for it to be said about them. Certainly the opposite of most of the people during the tribulation. And in fact, the Bible says they are without fault before the throne of God. And again, the only way you could be without fault is to be saved, but also the idea that they are, that's their lifestyle. They've tried to live that kind of life. You would have to live that kind of life to be effective. By the way, that's the best kind of life to live today, to be effective as a soul winner representing Jesus Christ, is to have a life like that at the factory, among your family, with your neighbors, because everybody's watching. And I used to say this all the time. They are watching, hoping it's true. Hoping it is real. They watch you. You know, you can say all you want, but they're watching. How do you live? And during the tribulation, wow, how many people, they'll want that to be true. How many people will say, you know, as these men are preaching, hey, you can go to heaven, you can be saved, you can have your sins forgiven, and they're saying, yeah, I wish that were true, and they're watching them. They'll do right, the Bible says. Roman numeral 2, the message of the first angel. So we've seen the message of the 144,000. Number 2, the message of the first angel. And while we're kind of in between, ushers, if you'll go ahead and come and receive our offering, Revelation 14 verses 6 and 7 are the message of the first angel. And it says, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Now this is good, and I like this message of the first angel. I want you to try to get this in your mind as to what is taking place. First of all, this is another angel. Go back to chapter 7 and verse 2, and we're just going to look at these. I'm not going to re-teach on these, but chapter 7, verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east. Notice that, chapter 8 and verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And so another angel, and now four more times in chapter 14, it will be said, another angel. You say, what's significant about that? There's no name given. We don't know who these angels are. I have no idea. Some say, well, that's got to be Michael. Oh, that's got to be Gabriel. Gabriel announces, and there's no name given. It seems it doesn't matter what their name is, because the most important thing is their message. This is an amazing thing. And as I read this, it's exciting. Now, first of all, it says this takes place in the midst of heaven. It's not talking about in heaven as far as where the throne of God is. It's talking about the middle of the heavenly area, which would be the sky right above the earth. It would be the sky, what we know as the sky, right above the earth. And literally, this angel is circling the globe, going all around, circling the globe with the gospel. That's an amazing thing, and so try to imagine you're and again, I don't know how loud this angel's voice is. I don't know how it says it's a loud voice. I don't know how far away you can hear the gospel. I don't know how often. Some would say this could be internet. It could be circling the globe that way. The Bible though says it's in the midst of the sky. To me, this angel is going around and is outdoors, and I'm not sure you could hear indoors. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But we do know this. We know that this angel, another angel, fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them. So here's an angel preaching the gospel. An angel, and by the way, this is very, very unique. Because up until now, who's been given out the gospel? Okay, 144,000 or people. That's all. I mean, you've heard me say before, you know, the angels would love to give out the gospel. Well, here one does. Can you imagine the angels watching us when we blow it? And we all do, right? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the angels? Because they're all around us, okay? And they see you at Burger Barn or whatever it is, and you've just gotten your burger and your fries and your chocolate milkshake. Nobody in this class would eat like that. No way. We'd be at the health food place, right? Ha. Anyway, and they watch us not give a gospel tract out. They watch us not leave a gospel tract. They watch us when somebody says, yeah, I'm just really having a hard time and I don't know what to do. And we just say, okay, well, have a good day. And they watch us. And they shake their head. Can you imagine how many times they shake their head? I'm thinking about, we went to see a lady one time in the hospital that was dying of cancer. And when we got there, we got there and started to talk to her, and the chaplain walked in. Chaplains at hospitals, sometimes they know the gospel, sometimes they don't. Sad, isn't it? And this fellow was kind of an Irish fellow. I can still remember that. And he walked in and he just said who he was and said, we didn't say anything about us. We were just kind of standing off to the side. And the lady looked at him and she said, well, I'm dying of cancer. And he goes, well, strength to you. And he walked out. And I couldn't believe it. It's like, come on, strength to you? And that's all he's got to say? And I think of the angels just shaking their heads. Amen. Ain't they just shook their head. But we went up and talked to her and she got saved. And she died of cancer, but she went to heaven. Amen. But how many times do we blow it, you and I? You know? And the angels are just sitting there going, I wish I could. And one gets to. Amen. During the tribulation. Just flies all around the globe. preaching the gospel. That's got to be an amazing thing. You know, people, again, in my mind, I'm seeing an angel. Well, I don't see the angel because I can't imagine what. I don't think angels, you know, sit on clouds and play harps and all that kind of stuff. But in my mind, I see this angel flying and just preaching the gospel. Flying alone, preaching the gospel. Hey, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. His blood is the only thing that'll save. And just preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. And, you know, until this time, only people give out the gospel. And now an angel is giving out the gospel. You know, it started with in the tribulation with 144,000 Jewish preachers. They gave the gospel. And now here in the midst of the tribulation, amid the delusion and the deception of the world, here is an angel with a message to everyone from the sky. Turn that thing off! Can't turn it off. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? Can you hear people yelling, turn off the TV, what's wrong with you? Can't turn it off. The angel's in the sky. Nothing you can do. In my mind, I see him scattering the stealth bombers and the jets to go blow that angel out of, can't blow the angel out of the sky. Isn't that something to think about? Oh, yeah, it's all going to happen, just like the Bible says. Again, I don't know how that angel's going to be doing it. I don't know how that's going to, that's just what the Scripture says. And here's what, to me, that it's saying. It's saying one more opportunity to be saved because the end is about to happen. Here's one more chance. God's mercy again. One more opportunity. Understand, people are getting drunk. People are being immoral, living like animals. People are, you know, it's just so wicked in the world and cussing and swearing. And however the 144,000 have been redeemed from people, the whole idea, they're gone, maybe slain. And it's just a nasty place. And God looks down and says, with a tear in his eye, I'm not willing that any should perish. Isn't that our God? He's not willing that any should perish. Not willing that I should perish. And so before I was killed in a car wreck, before I died of old age, before I died of God made sure that I heard the gospel and I got saved. He's not willing that any should perish. Aren't you glad he's not willing that any should perish? Praise God. And that angel, I got all excited when I got to thinking about that, you know, because there's no way to turn it off. You know, how many times you knock on somebody's door, you're out soul winning, and you know somebody's home, and they you see the curtain move, and they don't come to the door. Dogs barking. Shh, shh, shh. I'm thinking my wife tried to visit somebody recently and the dog was barking and all of a sudden she could hear shh, shh, and the dog was led. She kind of watched and somebody, the dog turned and looked like somebody's going, come here. And the dog goes and you know, lights are on and everything and they just don't come. How are you going to turn this angel off? Right? When Brenda and I were first dating and I wasn't saved, I would go to her. I'd spend the weekends at her family's house. They did that, so I'd go to church. I did it because I wanted to see her. Amen. I was not thinking spiritually. I was thinking love. But anyway, it's so funny. I would sleep on the couch, and her brother and sister, they were 5 and 6 then, I think, Kevin and Pam. They would come in, and sometime in the middle of the night, they'd come and lay on the couch with me. And their breath smelled and everything. It was nasty. But her dad would get up early on a Sunday morning. And that was a rule. I had to go to church. Her dad would get up and he would turn on the television. And I believe it was Rex Humbard and Maud Amy. And I had no idea, Maud Amy. And anyway, and they're singing, you know, oh, victory in Jesus. And that's how I woke up on Sunday morning whenever I'd stay. And I'd think, somebody turn that stupid thing off. And, you know, all of a sudden, back then, you know, he would preach the gospel. And I had to sit and listen about hell and had to sit and listen about Jesus dying on the cross. And all of that listening, it was working on me. But I did not want to hear it. Can you imagine this angel flying around And Brother Bowman, can you imagine some guys you work with? I mean, seriously, if they get mad at you when you hand them a track and stuff, and can you imagine? And you can't shut that angel up. Just preach and preach and preach. I love it. Anyway, we've run out of time. That's what shuts me up, is that clock. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God and that we can study it. Revelation, so exciting. I'm so glad you've included that in your Word so that we could read it, study it, and know that we win. God, what a blessing to know that we win. I think all these ball games, and it's so exciting, but people are, there's always somebody disappointed because somebody loses. I'm so glad, Father, that we win. No doubt about it, we are on the winning side. Please bless now our morning service. Speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.